Boneyard Radio. We're going to get started here in a little bit. Until then, just keep tuned in. We'll be back in a little bit only on the Boneyard Radio.
Well, then the Very spooky. What's that? It's a ghost. Spooky things doing spooky things.
Hey, y'all. This is your friendly caretaker, Wally. And I want to welcome y'all to the Boneyard.
Boneyard.
Because we're about to go deep within the spooky and strange. Hope you have a spooktacular time.
Boneyard, where we got all sorts of spooky things going on. So take your shoes off, have your moon pie, and get ready to be spooked. And now, broadcasting live from the spookiest part of the graveyard straight to you, this is the Boneyard Paranormal Radio. Here is your host, Earl.
Well, what happened? Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Boneyard Radio. We're here live from the graveyard. And we're here live, ladies and gentlemen, and Skeeter's here with us. Skeeter, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I don't know, dude. It's kind of spooky out here tonight. You see them clouds?
Yeah.
It's about to storm or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Man, if this gets too bad, we're going to have to go in that mausoleum, you know. I don't know, because them skeletons are in there, dude.
Yeah. My son showed me how to use this Skype, so I'm using it. I hope it don't attack me like, you know, our subject tonight is technology taking over. I hope it don't become some crazy horror movie here in just a minute.
Yeah, I sure hope not, you know. Hey, we've been, people out there listening, tell them about all them times we've been ghost hunting and people, you know, the people's houses we go to, they say they hear stuff on Skype and on the internet and everything else. Do you think
that
ghosts...
Yeah, they sure do.
You think ghosts can talk to you through that?
It sure could.
I wonder if they ever learn how to use this stuff.
They may know how to use it better than us.
I don't know them little, you know, them little kids nowadays, they know how to use this stuff.
I know. I had to get my kid to show me how to use it.
I don't know how to, I'm still trying to learn how to use this iPhone thing. You know, back in my day, all we had was two strings two cans and a string, you know. And then we moved on up. We got one of them big old phones that you had to, I guess, I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
I'm still using that kind of phone.
You are?
Yeah.
I wonder if they still have pay phones nowadays.
I don't know. I ain't seen none. I think that's the way of the past, that pay phone. Everybody's got them their cell phones.
You remember at one time when you took that pay phone and you stole it and you took it back to the house and put it out on the front porch and anybody in any company that came over, you told them to pay for a call?
Yeah.
Well, you made about $10 off that, didn't you?
Yeah, don't tell nobody about that. You weren't supposed to tell nobody about that. You're going to get me in trouble.
Well, that was a long time ago, though. You ain't still got it, do you?
Or did you
leave it before you moved?
Yeah, I left it. I left it when I moved, you know.
Well, ain't nobody going to find it in them hills, are they?
No.
That's good. That's good. So what
I'm
have you been up to, Skeeter?
Oh, not much. Just fixing cars. You know me. That's about all I do.
You got any discounts you want to tell anybody about?
Yeah, we got a deal. If you get your oil changed, you get a free beer with it. So come on by. We'll get you oil changed. Get you all set up now.
But you got to have a designated driver, though, don't you? You can't drink and drive. That ain't good.
No, that ain't good. You better bring somebody along with you.
Bring your dog along with you so it can drive
you
home.
That's when you don't care how long your oil change takes.
That's right. That's true. All right, everybody. We're going to talk about some news. We'll be back here in a minute on the Boneyard Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And don't be too scared because we're going to get some... We got some scary stuff to talk about tonight, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, we're back in a minute here on the Boneyard Radio, y'all.
Welcome back to the Boneyard. And now it's time for some news with Cousins Skeeter and Earl.
When the sun...
And now... Boneyard Radio presents News from the Crypt.
I think I still hear them chickens out there. I wish somebody get rid of these chickens. I don't even know why they got chickens down here at the graveyard, dude.
You can cut their heads off. We can eat them.
Well, I was going to get one last time, but I don't know what happened.
You couldn't catch it. That's what happened.
Well, I mean, them things are fast. You ever try to catch a chicken?
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's how I get ready for my lawnmower races. I go chasing up that chicken. I get pumped up and hyped up, you know.
Well, they got a goat out here, too, somewhere.
Oh, and them goats will kick you. You got to watch out for them goats.
I can get one of them llamas. Them things will spit at you.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'll be right back. Let me go get these dang chickens. They're getting on my daggum nerves. Well, I took care of them. We're going to have a lot of fried chicken tonight.
All right.
Oh, Lord, it's already getting dark. Oh, Skeeter, what? Dadgummit, them dang witches are out now. Ain't never a dull moment here in the graveyard, is it?
No, it sure ain't.
So what have you got to talk? You got anything you want to tell us about tonight?
Yeah, I got some pretty interesting little news things here. First thing I got is a man found a whole potato in his bag of chips.
He must have got that free. I hope I didn't charge him.
I don't know. He said he got home and found that potato in his bag of chips.
Well, they might have just gave it to him for extra. Was it still good?
I don't know.
I mean, how long has it been in there? Dadgum.
Ain't no telling.
That's what you call a big fat potato chip.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I tell you what now.
He'd have to make his own out of that one.
That's what I was about to say. He might have had to make his own after that. I bet it was. Do you know how to make tater chips out of a tater?
I don't. You ever done that?
Well, I tried to. One time I cut it up in little things, you know. And
yeah.
I put it on the grill and it caught on fire. I was wanting some of them grilled potato chips, but I don't reckon that worked out too well.
Well.
I had to feed it to the pigs. They liked it, though.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something, Earl, to find a potato in your potato chips?
Yeah.
You know, hey, I tell you what, it might have been. It might have been like them Cracker Jacks, you know, how they had the prize in them.
Yeah.
They could have had that for the little kids, you know, to make Mr. Potato Heads.
There you go. Yeah.
I used to like Mr. Potato Heads. So what else you got for us?
Well, I got they're saying that some cops that was at the September 11th, the travesty that happened in 9/11, saw
yeah.
ghosts during the rubble search. I bet they did.
I tell you what, I mean, but I tell you what, though, Skeeter. Now, them people out there may disagree with me, but them places like that, you know, then like them concentration camps that them Nazis used to have over there.
Yeah.
You know, places like that, I don't think anybody should go ghost hunting in there because I think that's a little bit disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You gotta show respect to the dead now.
Well, I mean, you might get a lot of stuff. I mean, dadgum, you know, all the dead people, you might get a lot of ghosts and stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that's right.
No, I don't either.
I mean, can you imagine all the stuff over there and, you know, with them concentration camps and stuff? All the demons and stuff over there?
Yeah, I bet there's some... Definitely some negative energy there, that's for sure.
That'd be like going to the Bell Witch Cave and take one of them rocks home with you.
Yeah.
You heard about them rocks, ain't you?
Yeah.
You take them rocks out of that cave and you get cursed.
Don't get cursed, that witch will get you.
That's right, that witch will get you. That's a new word. I think Skeeter just learned a new word, y'all.
I got one more thing here. It's pretty interesting. I found that Obama's former pilot recalls UFO encounter. After he had already been Obama's pilot. He said he said Bruce was flying over Waterloo, Iowa when he was aware of white disc-shaped short in the distance from his plane. He said it followed beside him for 30 minutes. And there he contacted the aircraft control. They have nothing in the area. And then it disappeared just all of a sudden as soon as it was there. And it left a red glowing ball shape. In its place. Yeah.
Dadgum.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting right there.
Do you think it was an alien?
Very well could be. Very well could be.
I tell you, they've been having a lot of alien sightings lately.
Yeah, they have.
You know, I mean, heck... I don't know, dude. Let's see here. So, I don't know. Skeeter, what do you got going on over there?
Nothing. What are you talking about?
You don't hear all them babies crying?
Well, you always making babies cry. Kids don't
tell
like
them to
you.
Hug. Good Lord. Skeeter, get them kids to hush.
Hush now, y'all.
Radio show. Now, dadgummit now. Did you get them to hush?
Yeah, I gave them something to eat.
What'd you give them?
I gave them some animal crackers. They liked it.
I wonder if vegetarians eat animal crackers. You ever thought about that?
I don't know if they do or not. They might not.
Well, I got something to tell you. Did you hear there's the Atomic Energy Commission? You know what they did one time?
What'd they do?
They put a nuclear heart in a cow.
Why?
I guess they just wanted to build a bomb or something. They hired a physicist and a doctor to create a nuclear-powered heart. And so they thought they'd try it out on a cow.
Well, they had beef for dinner then.
They wanted, you know, peaceful uses for nuclear weapons, so they tried to build a heart. They built a heart and put it in that cow. Of course, you know, the physicists and the physicians who took over the cow, you know, they didn't get along. They fought and stuff. I mean, each one of them had the big egos, and they fought over it and thought they shouldn't do it or they should have done it differently. But, I mean, it was created anyways. They said that there were some mechanical errors. They had kinks in the tubing running to the heart, you know.
Yeah.
And they said that it didn't lie. And I guess it killed the cow.
I guess so, yeah. It's kind of like having a goat eating dynamite, you know.
That's kind of like you used to do when you was a little kid. You put them firecrackers in them bullfrogs' hind ends. I don't know why you did that for. That's mean, dude.
I never did that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you did. Oh, Lord. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. Well, did you hear about that man who set his rental car on fire because he was trying to kill bed bugs?
He had bed bugs in the rental car?
Yeah, the police said the man who lived in Long Island, he set his rental car on fire while trying to kill bed bugs inside. They said he suffered first degree and second degree burns.
I think I'd have just let the rental car place handle that situation.
Well, I mean, daggum. Two other cars got hurt because of the daggum thing. I wonder how he got bed bugs in the car to begin with.
I don't know. Guess where he had stayed had bed bugs and he had them on him, so he figured that car had them, so he just blew it up.
And then there was a woman who stabbed her husband because he stunk up the bathroom.
Well, I'm glad my wife don't do that.
Over in Japan, it said a Japanese woman faces attempted murder charges after she allegedly slashed and stabbed her husband's face with a daggum kitchen knife. Tokyo police said the attack was spurred by a stink the victim left in the bathroom at their house.
Well, it must have been some awful stink.
I tell you, that'd make Taco Bell go out of business. Well, it would. You know it would. I mean, dadgum.
Yeah.
I'm glad they don't do that to us because, Lord, I tell you what, it gets awful in there sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they said that over in the Vatican, exorcists, they've been warning the Vatican over a surge of pretty young vampires and satanic yoga. I ain't never heard of them like that.
Satanic yoga? What the heck is satanic yoga?
Lord, I don't know. I guess you sacrifice chickens while you're doing yoga.
I don't know.
I mean, you gotta lift your head up, then you gotta stab it. I don't know.
And they've been wondering about pretty vampires, huh?
Yeah, that gives no meaning to choking your chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, but they said that this preacher over there, he said that them people over at the Vatican, you know, were experiencing a surge in reports of symptoms of possession proliferated by whatever that big word is, by beautiful young vampires, and show, you know, all of, now, this is something me and you talked about, you know, all these demons and these vampires and stuff on TV and the movies.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's causing an increase of this stuff?
Could be. I don't know. May very well be.
Now, what People do you think say- about vampires? Do you think they real?
It's a very good possibility. I think it's possible. Crazy people all over the place, you know.
That sounds just. I don't know about that now. I mean, I think demons can possess you and stuff, but I don't know if I ain't never heard of a demon trying to possess you and turn you into a daggum vampire.
Well, I don't know that it'd turn you into a vampire, but I have heard of vampires and stuff. I think it's possible. I've heard some stories about some crazy stuff going on. In New Orleans, you know.
What's been going on down there?
Oh, they always having. I'm always hearing stories about different stuff that around the downtown district, you know, where they people be seeing some crazy stuff. A guy will be there and then he'll be gone, and you just see him up, act like he was flying or something, you know. I heard all kinds of crazy stories about that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of
New Orleans.
Hunters,
New
they
Orleans
might go
is
down
a
there
crazy
New
place. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to. I mean, that just sounds like a spooky place to go to. You know, they got them voodoo people down there.
Yeah.
I like to have some gator meat, though. Boy, I love me some gator meat.
Yeah, they got that voodoo, and they got all kinds of crazy beliefs down there, you know. Crazy things they think, you know. A lot of superstitious, you know, people down there. They like to rid off stuff, you know. It's crazy.
But anyways, talking about these vampires here, there's this professor. His name's Professor Ferrari. You know, I guess he drives one of them big old cars.
Yeah.
He told the delegates of the Vatican-based course, he gave him a checklist of what to look for and approved the effectiveness of exorcisms. He said that they should only be carried out by properly trained priests, a license to do so. I mean, you can't go on eBay and get a license, apparently. I mean, daggum, you done got two of them. You need to stop doing them exorcisms.
Well, they never told me I couldn't, so. You got to trust that there, internet.
Well, I tried to exorcise somebody one time, and I got daggum tired. We must have walked half a mile.
It'll make you sweat, Earl.
It will.
Them exorcisms, yeah, they will.
It says that the people who ain't priests should never do exorcisms. They should say prayers and everything else, but they shouldn't do no exorcisms. And it says that they must welcome and pay attention to anyone who reports a demonic possession. Now, I mean, I believe that stuff's real, but I don't know about no satanic yoga, though.
Yeah,
I don't know what all that's about.
You think they have a satanic yoga class around us?
I don't know. They might have one down there near the liquor store.
Well, maybe.
That old abandoned Mason Lodge they got down there that the Jehovah's Witnesses use?
Yeah.
Yeah. They might have one down there. I don't know. That place is awful spooky.
Yeah. They may do it.
I mean, good Lord. I wonder how that even happens. Anyways. Did you hear about that Now, we're talking about all these technology and stuff tonight. The rover, the Curiosity rover that they put on Mars, they said they've actually found water up there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, them Martians got to have something to drink, too.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, they said that NASA's actually come out and said that they believe we'll find aliens in the next few years.
I think we already have. I think it'll come out before long.
I don't know what. I mean, did you hear about that? Another thing here. There's a Russian man. Did you hear about that Russian man who got his head transplanted? The terminally ill man was set to be the first to undergo the world's first full head transplant. They said it was nuts, but I guess they done it anyways.
Well, that's crazy right there.
He had something wrong with him, and they took somebody's head, and they put it on his, and they said it worked.
That's some Frankenstein stuff right there, man.
That is. And, you know, that's a good leeway into what we're about to talk about, all this technology and stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back here in a minute on the Boneyard Radio. So y'all keep tuned in. We'll be back here in a minute. Skeeter, get them kids to hush over.
Oh, I have to give them some more snacks. I'll be right back.
All right, we'll be back in a minute, y'all.
And everything else.
Well, that's right, son. I do think it might need a good tune-up. So let's head on over to Skeeter's Garage, where they do quality service at a quality price.
How y'all doing today? Skeeter here, and today I want to tell you about Skeeter's Garage. Have you ever heard the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Well, a lot of them others just seem to break more than they fix. But not here at Skeeter's, where we are a family-owned business that even lets youngsters help. We fix mufflers, tires, do all oil changes, motor repair, build bikes, all that stuff. We even have arcade for the kids to play in, a bar, those that are waiting on their cars to get fixed. And don't forget about monthly lawnmower races at the fairgrounds. If you're in town, come on down to Skeeter's Garage, where we never forget to put gas in it.
I tell you what, Skeeter, you got a good garage over there, don't you?
I sure do.
All right, y'all, we'll be back here in a minute. Have you got them kids some snacks yet?
Yeah, I got them half of them wanted Pop-Tarts and half of them wanted something else, so I got it to them. So they all fixed up.
Alrighty, we'll be back here in a minute on the Boneyard Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Boneyard Radio.
Kentucky, I ride on the hillside gravestone. You will never leave all in alive. my jig and laughed and sang a new song. Who said we'd never leave Harlan alive?
You're listening to the best of paranormal radio. This is the Boneyard Radio. So call in free, just dial 516-418-5392. That number again is 516-418-5392.
On the Boneyard Radio, and tonight we're talking about the robot takeover and the technology and everything else and the spooky and the strange. And later on, we'll be taking your calls here about the paranormal. Y'all got any ghost stories you want to tell or any questions y'all want to ask about the robots and the, you know, the apocalypse that they got fixing to go on. So, Skeeter, now, what do you think? Do you think that one day technology will overtake humans?
I think that it could if we don't remind people out there that, you know, you have to go outside every once in a while and get away from technology for a few hours and then enjoy the nice sunshine and do things outside. You know, I don't have nothing wrong with technology, but it can be a little too much at times, you know. You know, I've seen different, you know, things, you know. They got those cars now that drive themselves. I don't know how well that's going to work. We'll see. I don't know. It's can be very scary, you know, some of the stuff we've got going on right now.
Do you think that's why Do you think that's why there's such a big interest in the, like, movies like Yet I, Robot, and what was the other one? You remember that old movie back in the 80s, that Maximum Overdrive, when the trucks took over and everything?
Yeah, technology all took over, and yeah, I remember that, yeah. It's a very good possibility. I think it's definitely a fear some people have that there's, you know, that, It just depends on, you know, the people that have. I think it depends on people as much as it does, you know, the people that create this technology. You know, you just have to be mindful that you can't let it get too overwhelming for people. You know, all this crazy, you know, it shouldn't completely take over our lives. You know.
Well, there was a poll done a few years ago by CNN, and they actually, their poll resulted that life is actually busier than what it used to be a long time ago. I mean, you know, nowadays people's always just coming and going, and nobody, you know, can sit down and smell the roses or the coffee. I mean, you're always on the go. I mean, I mean, just even like us, you know, we don't use that technology that much, but I mean, it's like you can't catch a break, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're worrying about the bills, or you worrying about what you're going to do, what you're going to fix for supper, and, you know, and if you're going to get that done in time, and if you're going to get the tractor fixed. I mean, there's so much daggum stuff. I mean, in this fast-paced world, you know, if you ain't on top of stuff, you're behind.
Yeah.
And it hurts, you know, to think that the kids of tomorrow, the people who are going to be leading, you know, being the leaders of this country, how they're going to be in the future.
Well,
and you know, the whole technology and kids and everything, that's a topic for a little bit later on. But I mean, it's getting to a point where parents, they don't even have time to raise their kids. And so they're letting the TV raise them.
Yeah. Or the cell phone, you know.
Well, I mean,
kids are always on their cell phones, you know, which ain't no problem, you know, whatever. But, you know, you got to have communication skills, that's for sure, to make it in this world.
Now, you know who Stephen Hawking is, right? He's that man, he's one of the smartest men in the world, you know, about physics and stuff. You know, he's actually come out and said that eventually technology is going to take over.
Yeah, I mean,
he's warning people about it because, you know, I mean, a smart man like it, he knows.
Yeah, I agree that it is going to get, it can get really bad. They've got some things out there where you won't even be able to walk in a room without doing some kind of, you know, using some kind of, you know, computerized technology, you know.
I mean, he argued, you know, one of his main arguments is that, you know, the development of stuff and artificial intelligence, you know, like robots and then personal assistants like that Siri on that phone, you know, you can talk. Ain't that amazing? You can talk to that phone that can talk to you back and find what you need and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Google, you know, Google's taking over the whole world with technology. I mean, they're going to be taking over Apple and Microsoft before too long.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that got that new driving car that drives by itself.
Yeah.
I mean, this technology in the past few years has just exploded with stuff. You know, now, you know, Stephen Hawking, I mean, he says that, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to technology. You know, it's just really the way it's used and the intentions of it.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But, I mean, we're using kind of like technology. Well, thank you. In that movie, I, Robot, you've seen that, ain't you?
Yeah.
When they were using the robots to make everything in life a whole lot easier and using them like servants and slaves and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just look at today, too. You know, we use computers all the time to do stuff for us. I'd be daggum if I wasn't in the store earlier today and their daggum cash register wouldn't work, you know, that they give you the change.
Yeah.
The people behind the daggum cash register didn't even know how much change to give me. They had to find a calculator.
My goodness.
Well, you know,
I've noticed a lot of places too. You go and you can order on your phone now. You know, you remember we was in that Taco Bell the other day, and you can order your meal on your phone and go pick it up. A lot of places are starting to do that. I've noticed where you can order on your phone and go pick it up.
Well, you know, Domino's has that you seen on TV where that Domino's, they have that that app on your phone you can call and order a pizza from.
Yeah.
Just by your voice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that's all cool and stuff, but I mean, what's going to happen when these robots and this technology decides it doesn't want to serve us no more?
Yeah, I think it's just important to remember we can't be, you know, totally dependent on it, you know, 100%. I think in some cases we are. If we woke up tomorrow and there wasn't no technology, we wouldn't know what to do. It's sad to say, but I think it's true.
Well, you've heard people talking about, you know, these solar flares and stuff that could, you know, these terrorists and that ISIS group overseas, and that did you hear about them hacking, the Russia hacking into the White House computer and shutting down electricity in Washington, didn't you? In D.C.
Yeah,
up there.
That's crazy right there.
Well, now look at it this way. You know, we get some pretty rough winters around here, and every now and then, and it gets so daggum bad, you can't even go to the store.
Yeah.
And whenever they're calling for it, you can't get nowhere in Walmart and places because, I mean, they're just fighting and everything over food and water and stuff. Just for daggum snow. I mean, can you imagine what's going to happen whenever the power goes out? I mean, how are you going to... It's going to collapse the society. It's known as it is, it's just going to fall.
Yeah, because everything is, paperless. Everything's on computers, you know. All your information, you know, is all on computers. So, I mean...
Your money in the bank, I mean, everything.
Yeah. It'd be crazy.
I mean, society could not function. I mean, they had to try to declare martial law and try to, you know, keep people civilized, but... In a civilized world like ours, especially in the United States, when the power goes out, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I know.
And that's just simple electricity, dude.
I know.
Can you just imagine these new androids that they're building? You know, they've already built several lifelike androids that'll wash the dishes for you, they'll cook for you, they will make your beds, they'll clean for you and everything else. They've actually got them things. I mean, they're high right now, but in the future they may become more, you know, predominant.
Yeah, that's true. It just depends on if anybody major gets behind it, it'll become the norm, you know, just like computers.
Well, the spooky thing about it is, dude, is they're actually making them so they have that artificial intelligence. And they can actually learn.
It's kind of like them
dolls that, you know, that kids get that they can actually remember your name and stuff. That reminds me, you remember them daggum Furbies?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember them Furbies. My kid wanted one back few years ago.
Well, you know, stuff like that, I mean, it's amazing how they can actually remember your names and talk to you and all sorts of stuff. And I'm going to tell you folks, some of the worst things that's ever been in this world, and if you look throughout world history, I mean, it's been through the best of intentions. We want to cure AIDS. We want to cure Alzheimer's. We want to cure all these diseases. We want to help people. We want to make, you know, prosthetic limbs for people, for, you know, soldiers who get their arms blown off and stuff in war. You know, we want to help people. That's the whole premise behind a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, make life easier.
Yeah, it makes life a whole lot easier. I mean, you know that on your phone, you can actually turn on the microwave, you can turn your lights off. If you get down the road and forget to lock your doors, it'll turn your lights off and everything.
Program your DVR.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying really much bad about it, it's just the way people use it. And it's just like I was talking about. You've heard about those 3D printers, haven't you?
Yeah, now those things are crazy.
That they can actually print stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about paper. I'm talking about like trying to print guns and limbs and everything.
But, you know, the thing about those 3D printers is it's definitely more cost-effective with that. I've been seeing some prices on getting stuff done with a 3D printer, and it was... amazingly a lot cheaper, you know, and they're supposed to be getting a lot better with that technology there as years go on.
I read on an article a few days ago where this company built 24 houses by printing it off on a 3D printer.
My goodness.
In 24 hours, built 10 houses. And then
yeah.
they...
I was reading some stuff about that printers and about how good the technology could get. Say you got a company and you are you're going to use a printer to build a chair, and you're going to make it stronger in certain places where it needs to be stronger, you know, for us fat people, you know, so it don't break, you know. So there's they're thinking of crazy things like that to use that 3D printer. I mean, it could see the end to a lot of hardworking people, you know, if the
He put a lot of people out of work. And, you know, a lot of these computers and stuff have already put a lot of people out of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes things easier, but it makes it cheaper. But, I mean, they ain't nothing like a good old-fashioned handmade thing. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
But them 3D printers, they, you know, there's a big debate going on right now in the U.S. government about 3D printed guns.
Yeah, that's scary right there.
Can you imagine if that got into the wrong hands?
Yeah. It'd be
scary. And I bet you money the military's got 3D printers.
Yeah, probably so. I
hope so. They want weapons. They want weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... 3D printers, that's the one thing, dude, that I just... It makes me kind of a little bit worried. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I'd like to have one. I mean, heck, when your car breaks down, heck, you could use it over at your garage. You just print you off a new muffler.
Yeah. Just do anything, yeah.
It saves you on parts.
Yeah.
But what we was talking about is them Androids and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about the operating system on the phone. I'm talking about actual... They got these robots that look just like people and talk like them and learn like them and everything. Can you imagine if...
that's like a step for wives, huh?
Yeah. you remember that movie, I don't know, it was a Bruce Willis movie called The Surrogates, where them people were like jacked into the Matrix or something and they were living their lives through artificial robots?
Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
These people, they would not leave their homes, and they were connected to their own personal robots who were living their lives. And they looked just like them.
Yeah.
And, they didn't feel pain or nothing like that, but I mean... And, you know, that's another thing about, you know, building robots is the ethical thing about... What do you consider life? Do you think that there's going to be a lot of ethical debates when they start building these things?
Will Could tell be, you? You know. I mean, if a human builds a robot, it is not human. It is, you know, made to be human-like, but it is not a human, in my opinion.
But it's still, you know, it's a machine, though, right?
Right.
Some people could argue that, well, we're machines. We're just made differently.
Well, you can say
that. And, you know, and the ethical debate is like, well, you know, a dog, are we any better than dogs and cats and stuff? I mean, just because we have the ability to reason and learn things and talk and stuff, does that mean that dogs ain't worth nothing?
Well, of course they're worth something, you know.
I mean, I love my little dogs and stuff, but, you know. But, I don't know. It's going to be one of them debates that it's going to take a lot of hits. Kind of like the abortion debate that's going on. It's been going on for years. You know, what do you consider life? Do you think that, do you think a robot... If it learns and can intelligently think and talk to you and stuff, if somebody decides to kill it, do you think it's murder?
Some people might. It's an interesting question.
I mean, that gives all the philosophers out there something to talk about, at least.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's good to be people be asking those type of questions, you know, because it's going to happen. It ain't a question of if or when. It's a question of when.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
It already happened. It's kind of like they got this software on the computer where you don't have to type or nothing. You just talk. And it does exactly what you say it can do. I mean, it'll even put your words in the text. You can actually write papers and stuff just by talking. And it learns how you talk.
That's crazy.
And, you know, of course, you know, killers and serial killers and stuff can use in voice changing software, and, you know, predators to, you know, solicit kids. And, I mean, technology is good, but once it gets into the wrong hands, it could be bad. And then there's
Think about it is there's no eliminating bad people in the world. You know, there's always going to be bad people, you know. It's just important to get the word out, you know, to everybody about, you know, the negative aspects of technology.
Well, it's kind of like kids nowadays. I mean, and we'll go ahead and talk about that. If you want to talk about some negatives and some positives about this kind of stuff, let's talk about the positives. All right, kids nowadays, and, you know, they have information. The millennials and a whole lot of other generations that are living now, they, you know, even us, we have the whole world at our fingertips.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, we do. We can talk to people from China, Japan, Israel, you know, England, wherever. I mean, with just a click of a button. You know, they know,
yeah.
You know, thousands of people probably listening to us ramble on right now.
Do you think that they'll be able to transport people to other places pretty soon? You know, they're working on that technology. You think that's going to be possible?
They done got that Stargate down there. You know, they using that.
Yeah.
They just got that covered up. But as far as... let's see, but as far as the kids go, there's a lot, you know, there's been studies coming out recently where a lot of the kids nowadays are having social problems. There's been getting a lot more bullies and stuff lately. You know, because kids don't know how to talk to each other.
Well, you gotta teach kids, you gotta go outside every once in a while and instead of being on your cell phone or watching the TV or doing whatever, you know. Of course, I mean, I think that it is a good idea for people that don't understand technology, especially in education aspect. You know, teachers ought to embrace technology as far as how to different ways to teaching the kids. I don't think
that's a positive.
That's positive. You know, I think you ought to have different ways of interacting with kids, you know, through technology and through different, you know, different things. You shouldn't turn away from the old, but you should definitely embrace the new too, you know.
Well, I mean, they have stuff now in these schools and stuff that, Lord, I'd wish I'd have had back when I was in school, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But it's got so far that you're getting fourth graders and third graders having to get flash drives and stuff on their school list.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you go on YouTube and type in how to do stuff like on iPhones, them little four-year-olds will tell you how to take apart it, hack it, and everything else with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kids are learning... Kids are learning early, that's for sure. I know mine do.
Well, you taught them good. They can take apart they can put a battery together, can't they?
You know, they can do anything with a car.
Well, that just begs another question, is about the cars. You know, they have them self-driving cars that they're coming out with. Can you imagine how many truck drivers and stuff's going to be out of a job when they get the big trucks to navigate on their own?
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. Because don't worry, those truck driving companies will find a way, once that technology is mastered, to do that.
Oh, yeah. And like,
that's saving a lot of money.
Delivery drivers, I mean, FedEx, UPS, I mean, good Lord, Amazon, they done got them daggum drones.
They're testing them, yeah. They're still testing them.
Yeah, you just wait till they come up here in these hills and we'll shoot them down.
Yeah.
And we'll go skeet shooting.
Wonder if there's a weight limit on them packages for them drones, you know?
I don't know. I'd like to ride one of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. That's just funny.
I can just see you riding around on them drones.
Yeah, boy. It'd
have you by your head.
We go UFO hunting then, for sure. We'll be up there in the sky. I just wonder if they got seat belts on them things.
Not in your case.
No, yeah, they picked me up by my head. But, I mean, and that's another problem about them drones is, I mean, how are you going to make sure they're safe? Because you know Billy Bob and whatever other name's going to be sitting up there on the hill waiting for them to come by getting a free package.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't think it'll ever be able to be safe to do. I don't think they'll ever be able to use them drones like they want to. I just don't.
Yeah, but they'll put a lot of people out of business, that's for sure.
Well, you know, the military uses them drones all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, heck, we use it. Well, you know what? You got one of them drones that you use when you have them barbecue cook-offs.
Yeah. That thing will go up high, too.
They do. And they know they're not that high, neither. They're pretty daggum cheap.
Yeah. Depending on what kind you get.
Yeah, you could get a bad one. I mean, you know, them cheap Chinese ones. That you fly it up in the air and it just busts and it just catches on fire in the air.
Yeah.
Be like the worst $60 I ever spent.
Yeah.
But I could see some advantages of like self-driving cars and stuff. You know, people that can't see good or old people or, you know, there's a lot of people out here on the road that I don't think they should be driving.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't care if they're old or young. They just don't need to be driving.
Yeah, I was by somebody the other day, and they were texting while driving. You could tell they were because they were looking down in their lap. That's just stupid.
Yeah, well, texting
and
driving.
That's just stupid, people. Don't ever do that.
I tell you what, people who text and have you ever been talking to somebody and they just start texting on their phone? You're like, really?
This is just kind of rude, if you ask me, you know.
Well, heck, we have them ghost hunting classes up here at the school, and then half of them that come, they just sit there on their phones.
Yeah, just terrible.
Talk about the zombie apocalypse, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Heck, we've had to get on to people for texting while we're on ghost hunts. Now, you know, we use them, and we're going to get into this here now, technology and the paranormal. Now, you know that good and well that all them, you don't really need all that fancy stuff to go ghost hunting.
No, you don't.
Well, we're going to take us a short break, and we're going to come back and talk about the paranormal and some technology and stuff and finish up, and we'll talk to you, take y'all's calls. We'll be back here in a minute. On the Boneyard Radio. Tell you what, there ain't much technology out here at the graveyard, because I wish these daggum skeletons, they need to get on a computer or something. I mean, we've got a skeleton crew working over here, but I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
I got a bone to pick with somebody. We're back here in a minute only on the Boneyard Radio, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned.
Doctor here, and I want to tell you about this fine place called Skeeter's Garage. Skeeter's Garage is a family business that will get your car, truck, or whatever runs on wheels back up and running in no time. Don't waste your time with them other fellas. Come on down to Skeeter's Garage, just past Liquor Store, down the dirt road next to the Piggly Wiggly.
Reckon you're wondering what I'm doing here. These fellas asked me to tell you about their lawnmowers. Reckon they say I'm an expert on lawnmowers. This fella the name of Joe Caribou makes these here lawnmowers. Reckon they run all right, as long as they got gas in them. Reckon they got good cutting blades. Some folks call them mulching blades. I call them cutting blades. They got all sizes of lawnmowers. I reckon they got what you need depending on what you want to pay for them. Reckon I'd like to have me one of the big ones. Thank you.
Joe Caribou Lawnmowers, on sale everywhere.
I bet they'd dance them a jig and laugh and sing a new song. Who said we'd never leave Harlan alive?
You're listening to the best of paranormal radio. This is the Boneyard Radio. To call in free, just dial 516-418-5392. That number again is 516-418-5392.
Now we're back here on the Boneyard Radio, and Skeeter, you've heard about them apps on your phone that you can get for ghost hunting?
Yeah, I've heard about them.
What do you think about some of them? Which one's your favorites?
Well, they got some good ones on there. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can pick.
They
Which
got
ones you like?
Well, let's see. They got a... Well, they got one of them ovuluses, you know, them things that can hear them talk and stuff.
Yeah.
They got them, and they got this one. They got a ghost meter, that, you know, EMF meter that you can get. I mean, heck, you don't even have to buy all that equipment. You just got to have a phone and, you know, and get all that stuff on the store.
That's right. Bless Google.
Well, let's see. Well, they got... EMF meters, they got temperature readers. How in the world does a phone get a temperature reading?
I don't know.
And how does it get an EMF reading? That's what I want to know. I don't care, but they work, don't they?
They do. I've used them several times. They work.
Have you ever heard of that Echo Vox?
Yeah, it's good.
Tell me about that. What do you know about that thing?
Well, it works. You record in it, and it comes back to you, and you hear it again. And boy, it's cool now. It works real good.
Now, EchoVox, for them people, for y'all out there don't know, it's a real-time EVP recording system.
Yeah.
It's a real-time amplified recording system used to create a bed of random noises and random phonetics, and it's got a microphone input and a natural loop recording echo. It's got a delay time that you can set, and it's used to catch EVPs. It's kind of like spirit ghost boxes, you know, them radios that you can hear ghosts through.
And
I mean, it's got all sorts of features on it. We need to try that, Skeeter.
Yeah.
It's only $24.
There you go.
I mean, excuse me, $29. If anybody out there has ever used one of them amps, call in and tell us about them. Because we'd love to hear your stories. And that ghost radar, I don't like it very much. It's too hard to work.
Yeah, I tried to use it. It was difficult.
All right, we got somebody here on the line here, Skeeter.
All right.
Well, my mom always told this story about the house that I grew up in, and they bought it from some guy, and it needed a lot of repair. My dad's a master craftsman, and he doesn't really go for that kind of stuff, but they said that they had a smell that they couldn't get rid of, and my dad gutted the house, and he went through all the plumbing and even down to the basement and the concrete foundation, and it when they finished their bathroom in the master bedroom, the smell was still there, so they said they sat down on the bed together, and they said, we don't have a problem with you. You seem to be a friendly ghost, but the smell is bothering us, and if you could do anything about it, that'd be great. We don't mind if you stay, whatever. They just sat down and they talked to it, and ever since then, been in our smell. And it's weird to me because I don't know that I've heard any stories about ghosts that have a smell.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, them ghosts, they can have a smell, especially them demons. Sometimes they smell like rotten eggs and all sorts of other stuff. I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, all we can do is think about it. You know, we really don't know, but sometimes, you know, people say that the grandma's still home. They can still smell Bengay or some roses or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, what did they say it smelled like? I mean, other than being bad.
It was like something dead, like a dead animal. Like, they looked for squirrels and bats. So we still get bats in the house sometimes, but he tore it down to a skeleton. I guess the guy that lived there before didn't keep animals, but it was he installed lots of security systems and sprinkler systems, and there's this huge weird panel in the house, and it had all these switches and meters and dials and stuff on it. But they couldn't. Yeah, it was like something was caught in a pipe or something, but he gutted it all and it stayed.
No, I mean, what do you think about that, Skeeter?
I don't know. It could just be the. I don't know why the ghost would, you know, smell bad. I don't really know. That's kind of
Hey, Mom took a shower.
Might not have. I don't know.
Because, you know, ghosts can't take showers because they get their bed sheets wet.
Yeah, I know. But ain't no telling on that one. If that's all it was, I don't guess it was demonic. You'd know if it was. There'd be other things, you know, other things going on. So I guess it was just a, like I say, a smelly ghost. Thank goodness you talked to it and it stopped. That stopped that, at least
that's what we tell our women, right? We tell them if we, you know, if we fart, we say, them daggum ghosts just farted. It's kind of like blaming it on the dog.
That didn't never work for me now.
You blame it on the dog.
I ain't blamed it on the ghost, but I'm going to start doing that.
You ought to.
Yeah.
All right, we got somebody else here. Hello, are you there? Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, I got a story for you, man. And this happened when I was like 16 and my sister was 15. And we had these two kids that came up to our door and they asked us, you know, they kept wanting to come in to our house.
Uh-oh.
And we said, no, we can't do that. We can't let you in. But we can ask our father, is anything wrong? You know, we thought that something was wrong with them, lost. And so we called our father. Let us call our father first. And these kids looked like they were kind of like there was no color to them. No, they looked like they were in
like vampires,
blue jean jacket, long scraggly hair. And the guy just kept saying, no, you don't need to call your dad. Can we just come in? And the girl in back of them was like, yeah. Can you just let us in, please? And so my sister said, no, well, let us call our father first. So she called her father. And I didn't even turn my back that long. It was only like a couple of seconds. I turned back, and they were gone.
No.
Went outside, searched the whole front yard, searched the back of the house, the side of the house. Nothing. nothing was saw of these kids. You can see everybody's front yard. They were nowhere to be found.
Dad, I guess they run off.
I remember that. You know, I remember these kids.
Well, what did they smell or something? I mean, what do you know about them?
No, but I'll tell you this. Outside wasn't too sunny. It wasn't too sunny. It was kind of like gloomy a little bit, too much. But it was kind of gloomy. No smell to them. And they would never look at you. They would not look at you.
And they might have been them black-eyed kids that people talk about. Did you ever look at them to see if they were...
They wouldn't look at you. They...
How many kids were there?
There was two.
Did they both talk to you or just one of them?
Yes, they did. And all they wanted to know was, could we let them in? When my sister called my father, she goes, let us call our father first. Let him see what he says. I just turned my back. Not even that long. And then when I turned around, they were gone. And then years later,
Well, I mean, they could have been aliens, you know. Did you experience any kind of time loss or anything like that? I mean, did you like that right there, you know?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. They were, you know, there was no time of, you know, no lost time. But it was unusual that these kids, all they wanted to know was, could we let them in?
Now, dadgum, Skeeter, what do you think about that? You think that could have been the black-eyed kids?
I don't know, could have been.
You
what
heard about
you,
them, ain't you?
What do you think would have happened if you'd have let the kids in? Did you get any kind of a negative feeling being around the kids or anything like that?
Hello?
You there?
I guess he's gone.
Well, I guess so. Well,
that was a spooky story, dude. Have you ever seen one of those black-eyed kids?
No, I ain't never
you've,
seen
you've heard
one.
About them, ain't you?
Yeah, I sure have, boy. All
right, y'all. We got a few more calls here, Skeeter. We're going to have to get to them, so we'll talk about it here in a minute. You there?
Hello? I'm not sure where to start. I had an experience several years ago that has plagued me that I will never forget in my entire life. I was driving with a friend of mine in the car. We were on our way to a town called Gillsburg from York, Pennsylvania. And we were on a road where we were up on a hill and we could see the town in front of us. And all of a sudden we both kind of stopped and noticed this thing kind of, it looked like a ball of smoke come up from one of the neighborhoods in the town. As it started to rise in the air, it took on the shape of like a little tornado and began to spin furiously.
Lord
and
mercy.
As it rose higher and higher into the air, it changed shape, and I feel crazy saying this, but it changed shape. And you could see that it was, I'm having trouble describing it. Almost like you knew it had some kind of consciousness, like an obvious intelligence to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it rose in the air, and it took on the shape of what I can't describe any better than like almost like a dragon shape with wings. And got farther and farther away, and we could see it flapping its wings and moving.
You mean you both saw that thing? I mean, dadgum, that's spooky right there.
Yes, we were both seeing the exact same thing. We were cold sober, and we were so creeped out. I can hardly even get my friend that saw it to even talk about it. Because I ran into him years later and said, have you thought about that, what we saw that night? And he was like, you know, his face just drained, the color just drained out of his face. And he was like, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. I have no idea. And
did you lose any time or anything? Because it could have been them aliens too, you know.
No, we didn't. We didn't. Nothing like that. It was just something that we both saw that was very, very odd. And I know, I believe that we weren't the only ones to see it either. I mean, it came up from a town, from houses. So I know that someone else had, I mean, it was huge. It was obvious. And it was very, very weird.
Well, I appreciate you calling us. Skeeter, what do you think about that?
It could be some kind of cryptid, you know. You don't know. Could be some kind of monster of some sort. No telling.
All right, we got. Hello, are you there?
Hi, thank you. By the way, you're not a. What do you call it? You said earlier.
What?
Well, good Lord, I don't know. I mean, I'm crap.
And it's the first time I called you. And I see auras.
Well?
I don't know what they mean around people.
You don't know what they mean or what?
I don't know what the colors mean.
Skeeter, I don't know nothing about no auras, do you?
No, I mean, other than they say that the light, you know, the brighter the light you have around somebody, I've heard that the more closer they are to God or something like that. I've heard that before, you know,
I could barely understand what she was saying there. Maybe I'm just getting tired. We got time for one more call. Tell us about
3 near-death experiences.
Three.
And all of them been in car accidents. 2 of them was my fault. This last one wasn't. Well, the first one, I'd fallen asleep and hit a tree, a palm tree, doing about 70. It pushed the motor to the side of me, and I remember waking up, stretched out across the dash of the vehicle. And all I can remember is my face has blood on it, my hands are all sticky. And then the next thing you know, I hear this. I don't hear it in my ears, I hear it inside me saying, "You've been in an accident, just calm down, everything's going to be all right. Go to sleep, when you wake up, you'll see." Sure enough, you know, I wake up, I got these stitches on my eyes, my fingers, but other than that, I'm not even hurt. The car is so towed, you know, my friends couldn't even believe that I survived this accident. About 4 more years down the road, I'm driving down the road in my little truck, it's raining. I go through this intersection, and I cannot get out of the intersection. The back tires are spinning and spinning. And I says, "Oh, my God, I'm looking out my passenger window, and I can see this car coming. He's doing about 55. And I could not. I let off the gas, gave it some gas. The tire just spun and spun. That car slammed into me. Actually, the truck slammed into me, pushed me across the road, rolled me twice. When I came to, I'm upside down. My first thought is, my God, I just feel this truck with the gas, and I can smell it. Same feeling came over me. Richard, put your hand up, because I'm upside down, mind you. Push the button to release you. You have your seatbelt on. I did that. The voice told me inside of me, now turn around and just back out the window. I turned around and backed out the passenger window. When I stood up, there was already people pulled over, and they're all standing there just looking. And I turned around and looked at them. And they're looking at me, and I'm saying, "Well,
nope.
What are you guys doing? Nope. You know, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And I'm sitting there, and I'm standing, and I'm looking at this red truck, Dodge truck, just like mine, same color, almost 2 years apart, though. The whole front end smashed in. I'm thinking, "Well, I just crawled out of my, that can't be my truck." I turn around, I see my truck all twisted. The rear end is totally missing. It's shot off the field somewhere. And that's my car twisted up. My truck twisted up metal. It's the same color truck, same type of truck. But it was him that hit me, you know.
Well, whenever you got thrown out, I mean, did you see yourself looking at the... I mean, did you see yourself, or was you looking out of your own eyes? I mean, how'd that happen?
This third time, yes. Is it 3 times? No, I just had an overwhelming feeling and something inside of me telling me, you know, what to do to stay calm. But this third time, I couldn't catch my breath. When this car slammed into me, I was in the Bay Area making deliveries, and she ran through a stoplight and slammed into me doing probably like 65 miles an hour. A driver's door, mind you. Hit the truck with such an impact. This is a delivery truck I'm driving. Her car hit the truck. It was rolling the truck. She went right over me and into the bushes. And the truck rolled twice and landed back on its tires. Well, it didn't knock me out. The other two, out cold right away. This time, I just could not catch my breath. I'm trying to breathe, you know. I'm not knocked out, and I just can't get my breath. Can't get my breath. I'm just trying to breathe, and all of a sudden, am I breathing? No. Well, this don't feel too bad. What is this? Above the truck, looking down at the accident scene.
Oh, man.
And I could see people running up to the truck, which was an off-duty fireman. And I can hear him saying, you know, are you awake? Are you awake? Can you hear me? And I can hear him saying this. Here comes the overwhelming feeling of calm and collectiveness. And basically, what's up to you this time? You want to go back? I couldn't get back to my body fast enough. So as soon as I heard those words, I didn't want to turn around to see what was saying it, but I just dove back down into my body. And have you ever had your arm fall asleep with the needle feeling? My whole body was that. And my arms are in the air, and I'm just shaking it. And I can't move my arms yet still because these pins and needles affect all over my body. And the whole time, the off-duty fireman's still asking me questions, you know. He knows I'm awake now. And, you know, I finally got the tingling to stop, and he's asking, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? I said, yeah, I'm in Oakland. He goes, who are you? Who are you? And he kind of scared me there for a second for him saying that. Richard Gardner, you know, he wanted to see if I was consciously new, you know, if I didn't have concussion, I guess. And he's trying to tell, well, don't move, you've been in an accident, you know, help's on its way. Well, then somebody comes running up, we should go gas, we can out of the vehicle. So they pull me out of the vehicle, you know, and I'm standing there, and I look over and I see the vehicle that is slammed into me. It's into the bushes with a big half of a tree sticking out of its hood. And she's getting hauled off to with the ambulance, you know, getting taken to the hospital, but I didn't even, after that tingling stop, I didn't feel anything, nothing until the next day, and I had 2 cracked ribs, and that was it.
Well, that's an amazing story. Thank you for calling in. Skeeter, what do you think about that?
That's pretty amazing, you know. Sounds like he's definitely got a guardian angel watching out.
He's got angels around him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen trucks and stuff that, I mean, you know, we've had friends before that wrecked and stuff, and they ain't no telling how. It's a miracle they got out alive.
Yeah, I know. I've had friends that have had bad car wrecks and barely made it out alive.
And especially if they show you pictures, you're like, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for us here on the Boneyard Radio. We're not going to be on the air next week, but we'll be back the week after that. So just stay tuned to us on Facebook.com/Southern Spooks. Skeeter, have a good night, and we'll talk to you later, feller.
All right. Bye.
All righty, then. Well, y'all keep tuned in, and we're going to have some more fun for y'all next time. From all of us here at the Boneyard Radio, good night, everybody.
We hope we didn't spook you too much. See y'all again next time. And remember, when strange stuff starts happening, who you gonna call? You're gonna call Southern Spooks. Be sure to check us out online by visiting Prism at prismparanormal.net.
About the heartland, the only place I've been.
This podcast has been brought to you by Prism Paranormal Research. Visit us online at www.prismparanormal.net. This is Kristen saying thanks for stopping by, and see you again next time on the darkest side of the night.